me approach. And again, this case is In Re Interest of Nature v.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. Regina Makaitis appearing on behalf of the appellant Wanda Turner. The appellant appeals from the adjudication and disposition order entered by the Separate Juvenile Court of Douglas County, Nebraska on October 26, 2010. Basically, I'm going to keep this very short. Basically, the allegations against my client were that she had been incarcerated on the day that the state's petition was filed, that her use of alcohol and or controlled substances placed the child at risk for harm, that she had used threatening or inappropriate physical discipline on the child, that she had failed to protect the child from threats or inappropriate physical discipline by her husband, who is the child's stepfather, and that she failed to provide proper parental care, support, and supervision, all of which would have placed the child at risk for harm. At the adjudication hearing, all of these allegations are found to be true by the court, except the count regarding her use of alcohol or controlled substances. Apologize, I have allergies. In her appeal, appellant argues that the adjudication was not supported by sufficient evidence, and she points out that it was basically based on the testimony of her 13-year-old daughter, and she argues to the court that that testimony was inconsistent, lacked credibility, and was not corroborated.
Well, it's not required to be corroborated.
I understand.
What was inconsistent about the child's testimony?
Well, for instance, she alleged that her mother had at one point told her to take off her clothes and then hit her 15 times with the belt. And yet there was no, and when asked, she said there were no marks left on her body whatsoever. Now, it seems to me the common sense, if somebody took a belt and hit a child 15 times, there'd be some welts or some bruising or some kind of markings left on it. She testified, also that her brothers and her stepfather were using marijuana and that the brothers kept the marijuana in their pockets, and yet on cross-examination admitted that she just presumed that's what they did because allegedly boys do that, that's where they keep their marijuana. So basically, I don't want to go over all the various details, but the mother said that some of these things just didn't support the child's allegations against her. The mother testified that this is a child who tells lies. On one occasion, she had told the school personnel that she had given birth to twins, which was not true. And the mother said she had also told this child, who had been suspended from school a number of times. This is corroborated by the child, who said, yes, I was suspended at least 12 times, that she was going to send her to a boarding school. The mother believes that the allegations the child was making against her was a result of the mother's threat to send her to boarding school. At the same date that we had the adjudication hearing, the court proceeded to disposition, and I think this is the area that is more concerning to appellant, which is the fact that the court, in its disposition hearing, ordered that the child remain placed with the father in Ohio and made a finding that it was in the child's best interest that the child remain there. The court had placed the child in Ohio after the father had filed an intervention, was granted intervention by the court. And at the one hearing that I had been told, or counsel had been told, that there was not going to be an adjudication, I believe it was in July 2010, and that the whole matter was going to be continued because this poor county attorney had suffered a neck injury and unfortunately was not able to proceed on that day. It was our understanding that everything would be continued that day, yet the father's motion for change of placement to have the child placed up there, the court proceeded to hear it that day. My client was not present. I offered a certified copy of a transcript from the court of Ohio, which had been entered a number of years before, which said that the custody of the child would be placed with the mother and that the father could not even visit the child until he completed certain programs upon anger management because of the domestic violence history.
At the hearing when the...
That was the first hearing in July.
And that there was that evidence offered?
That was in July. And then at the hearing, at the disposition hearing, I think I asked the court to take judicial notice of that particular thing, and there were reports from the case manager, and what the evidence showed specifically was that the state of Nebraska, the CPS, had requested a home study on the father's home in Ohio. And the results that were received by CPS were that Ohio denied placement in the biological father's home for the reasons that included his criminal and CPS record in Ohio, domestic violence issues, his failure to complete the Ohio court-ordered anger management programs, the number of lies that he told to the home study investigator regarding his criminal and CPS history, and actually put in the report, and the home study concluded that this home has been designated as a worker hazard for their own workers to go into. And yet, this court, the juvenile court, placed the child in Ohio, which we're not going to have any kind of supervision there, despite all the information that was received by the court at that time. I think another worker indicated in his report that the child herself wasn't that comfortable in the father's home, that she wasn't getting along that well with her stepmother, and that the father, and that in the home, she was also receiving physical discipline. So it's kind of like from the frying pan into the fire.
Did the court, on the record, explain its reasoning for
its
continuing placement with the father?
It did not. It took the matter under advisement, and then it issued the court order in which it stated that it relied on Stephanie H., that the court felt that because there are no allegations of neglect or abuse in this particular court action against the father, and that he didn't see any imminent danger to the child, the court had no choice but to follow this court's prior ruling in Stephanie H. I think that there's got to be some kind of parameter drawn here. I think if we automatically say, if we don't have the county attorney file anything against the father, the child will be placed with him. But here, the court received a lot of red flags, I would argue, that maybe this was not the best placement for the child. And if the Ohio home study revealed that they would not let their own workers go into that home because it was a safety hazard, why are we leaving a 13-year-old child there so many hundred miles away from, you know, from Omaha? So I would just simply ask the court, number one, to reverse the adjudication hearing if it so desires, or so finds that it was insufficient evidence. But in the alternative, if the court, this court decides to affirm the adjudication, I would ask this court to reverse that portion of the dispositional order which placed the child with the father in Ohio.
If I understand or recall the Stephanie H. case, that didn't deal at all with the statute that I think is applicable here, 43285.
It was a detention hearing, I believe.
And
right.
So what really I think your argument is here, there was sufficient evidence to show
absolutely
the plan was not in nature's best interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, it may be hard, you know, hazardous for the child to be out there. Not only that, but also, how is the mother supposed to work towards getting the child back when the child is in Ohio and the mother is here? What steps can be taken with that kind of a distance? If you have no other questions, I'm done. Thank you very much.
You still have rebuttal times.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Jordan Bowler, and on behalf of the Douglas County Attorney's Office, I represent the state of Nebraska, the appellee in this matter. After reviewing this case using a de novo standard, this court should affirm the decision of the Douglas County Juvenile Court because that court was correct in finding that the minor child came within the meaning of the Nebraska Revised Statute 43-247-3A and was at risk for harm. 43-247-3A states that a juvenile court has jurisdiction over a juvenile who lacks proper parental care by reason of the fault or habits of his or her parent, guardian, or custodian. The burden of proof that the state must meet in a case of this nature is the preponderance of the evidence, and the state clearly met its burden in this matter. This is a case in which the minor child herself was able to tell the court about the physical and emotional abuse that she suffered at the hands of her mother and her stepfather. She proved throughout the trial to be a credible and capable witness whose testimony was only bolstered by the subsequent witnesses. At the outset of the testimony, Nature was able to articulate for the court what the difference was between a truth and a lie and why it was so important for her to tell the truth to the court. Nature was able to tell the court about specific incidents of abuse, where they occurred, where she was living at the time, how old she was, but she didn't embellish. If she didn't remember a certain detail, she made the court aware of that. And she was able to remember details of the most recent events and the most traumatizing ones. She recalled for the court the time in February of 2010 when her stepfather hit her with the buckle end of a belt while she was doing dishes.
Ms. Bowler?
Yes.
Can we move forward and let's just assume for purposes of the argument we agree with you on the adjudication? And can we talk about the placement decision? I guess I'll be honest, I'm having some real trouble with understanding how the court determined that this plan was in the best interest of nature given the information from the Ohio Home Study, the prior juvenile action there, the father's history of violence. Convince me that the court was correct in its placement decision.
Well, Your Honors, my interpretation of the court's holding in this matter was that under Stephanie H., the court must place a child with a biological parent unless there's affirmative evidence that that child would be at risk for harm in the home of that parent. I also understand that the lower court did not find that there was sufficient affirmative evidence presented to conclude that the child would be at risk for harm. The only affirmative evidence presented was the 2002 Hamilton County custody arrangement, placing the child with the mother and not with the father. There was also evidence presented, there was testimony and there was talk, especially in the dispositional phase, that that the mother had removed the child from any contact from the father. The father was unable to find the child between 2002 and 2010 when she came into the care of the department. As far as the home study goes and the red flags that I think counsel spoke of, my understanding of the court's interpretation of that was that, first of all, it wasn't affirmative evidence. It was hearsay and things spoken about during the dispositional phase. And my understanding of the court's reading of Stephanie H. is that affirmative evidence that a child is at risk for harm in a biological parent's home must be presented.
But isn't this case dictated by 43285 when the department prepares a plan that is given presumptive weight unless there is evidence shown that it's not in the child's best interest? Isn't that the standard we're dealing with?
That is a standard, I believe, going to... I believe how the court read it was that was the standard going to most of the dispositional orders that it was holding. However, this was a case where we did not have two parents under the jurisdiction of the court. We had one parent under the jurisdiction of the court that would be subject to the orders of the court, but we had another parent who had not come under the jurisdiction of the court because there wasn't evidence sufficient to find that the child was at risk for harm in his care. And that is my understanding of the court's interpretation as to why the minor child must be placed with the biological father. And at this point, I guess I would, if there's no other questions, I would just leave the court with our respectful request that this court affirmed the decision of the Separate Juvenile Court of Douglas County.
Are you also asking us to affirm the placement in Ohio then, also?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
No other questions? Thank you. You have rebuttal time. How much is remaining?
1 minute 15 seconds.
I just want to point out to the court that the provision that said that there is a presumption that the department's plan is the correct plan is that particular statute is no longer in effect.
I understand prospectively,
right.
But at the time that this case was decided, it was.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to be sure.
Yes, thank you. Counsel, you are excused. The case is submitted, and we are in recess.